Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where I am your host, Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. I am so excited that you decided to tune in on this wonderful Monday, one we've never seen and one we'll never see again. But praise God, we live in it. And so I am excited that you decided to tune in on this wonderful Monday evening. You didn't have to be here. You could be wherever you wanted to be, but you decided to tune in or log in, however you got here. I'm grateful. So if this is your very first time, like I said, my name is Dr. Happy, and I'm so excited that you decided to choose this hour of power to be with us on tonight. And our goal is to encourage, to educate, and to empower. We always share a word of God, so it's always going to be encouraging. At least that's what we believe, because we believe the word is encouraging. We always want you to be educated. Now, it may not be a brand new topic, but it's definitely one that God has laid on our hearts to share so that you will think about what it is that God wants you to learn from this particular lesson, and then take notes so that you can write down what he says to you, so that you can expound on it, so that you can learn what he wants you to necessarily change, but maybe wants you to improve, and then be empowered to make those necessary changes. And then when you do that and you see the benefits and you see all the things that God has blessed you because you are obedient, be empowered to share it with someone else. So we're hoping that you'll be encouraged, that you'll be educated, and that you will most definitely be empowered. And so for those of you, praise God, that have been with me, can you believe we're going on 12 years? Amen. We've been in this thing for 11 years, doing what God has called us to do, and you've been here with me, whether you've been with me for a week, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, amen. We've been off and on. However, I know that you're praying for me and praying with me because you keep me encouraged. You keep me wanting to study more, and then you empower me to continue to do what God has called me to do, and that is to teach the gospel, and I am grateful for that. And so, again, I am always, always, always grateful for each of you. Now, I can't call you all by name, but I can call these two people by name. That is Jesse and Tammy Store, because if it hadn't been for them and their empowerment to put me in this spot, amen, almost 12 years ago, I would have not known that this was a thing for me. And so I'm grateful that they continue to support me. They continue to pray for me. They continue to empower me and move me to do the things that God has called me to do. And so I will always be forever grateful for that. Now, the greatest praise has to go to our Father. He's my Father. He's your Father. Whether you even know it or not, he's all of our fathers. And so we always want to make sure that we acknowledge everyone that's tuned in. We want to thank God for that wonderful song, because when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. And when he says no, nobody can say yes. And so I'm always moved by that song, and so I always start to broadcast with that song. Greet each of you, and thank you for tuning in. Then we go to God in prayer before we go to our lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessing. We thank you, Father, for waking us up this morning and giving us your precious gift of life. Father, you didn't have to do it, but you did, and so we're grateful. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to see and to reason and to have all of our being, Father, because, again, you didn't have to do that, but you did. And so we thank you, Father, for all the things that you've done for us and the things that you're doing and the things that you will do. We praise God for your word. We thank God for your Holy Spirit. And most importantly, Father, even some of us, and many of us probably, Father, don't even realize the significance of what we celebrated on yesterday, was that you died and that you came back and that you gave us all power. So the blood is significant. And so we thank you, Father, for allowing yourself to be dumbed down, if that's a word, to be part and be like us so that you could do what was necessary to pay the penalty so that we could live with you forever. And so we're grateful, and we can't thank you. We don't have enough words. We don't have enough energy. We don't have enough nothing, not even know-how to thank you for the sacrifice that you made and that you did it for us. And so, Father, we ask that you continue to bless us and strengthen us so that that's not in vain, and that we understand why you did what you did, and for us to do what we need to do so that we can be empowered to do the same miracles, the same things that were necessary for all of us to give our lives back to you so that we can live with you forever. So, Father, I ask that you remove any part of me, Father, that will interfere with this lesson from going forth. We thank you, Father, that we all will gain, including myself, something that you want us to improve, to change, to dwell on, to make sure that we get it in our hearts and in our minds so that we can be more like you, and that we'll understand that it's important for us to operate like you so that we can draw all people back to you. So, Father, again, we just thank you for being the vine and knowing us to be branches. And as long as we stay connected to you, we'll bear fruit that will remain, because without you, we can absolutely positively do nothing. So, again, Father, I thank you for everyone that's listening tonight, whether they're listening, Father, next week or next year. I thank you, Father, that it will be the same rhyme of word that will cause change and that will allow them to do what you call all of us to do, and that is to share your word. Father, again, we love you, honor, and adore you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Or if you're just tuning in, this is Dr. Happy or Leah Killings, whatever you call me, just call me a child of God. And I'm excited to be able to encourage, empower, and to educate us on some things that have been really pressing on my heart, especially when we get to these days that we celebrate that are on the calendar for the things of God. And so I was asking God, what should I minister on tonight? And so sometimes he allows me to stay in the vein of the calendar. And then some days, you know, he gives me what he gives me. So I thought I had my topic and everything kind of centered. But today I had some wonderful, wonderful friends, play dates that my daughter is friends with. And praise God, because of their parents, now we're friends. And so we were talking, and she said a term, Miss Jean, amen. Give her a shout out, amen, because I believe she's listening. But nevertheless, she said CME. And I said, CME? And I said, that's a type of division, you know, a religion. And she said, no, CME. And I thought, wow, when she explained what it was, I thought, amen, I'm going to use that tonight. Thank you. And I said, God, you know, thank you, Lord, you got jokes. And so I appreciate you allowing me to put that in part of the message. And it's still part of the thing that's kind of been laying on my heart for some time, actually. And so if I had to give the topic or this lesson a topic, it would be, are you, and it's all letters, are you CME? And the question is are you a Christmas, Mother's Day, or Easter Sunday worshiper? And we laugh, but it's funny to me because so many people do that. But the thing that hurts me is that many people that do go, yesterday I had an opportunity to talk to a student of mine, and he was so excited that he went to church yesterday, and he talked about all the things that he had done, and he wasn't the only one, because there are quite a few people I talked to yesterday that talked about how exciting it was to go to service yesterday and sit amongst family. And when I asked each one of them, so what was significant about what you learned yesterday? And they were stuck. And I was like, no, I mean, I know we went to church because it was Easter, but many of us have kind of refrained from using the word Easter to resurrection. Okay, so now what was the what does that mean to you, and how is that significant to you? And many of them were still confused by what I was asking. And so I asked it a little simpler. What does the sacrifice that Jesus made, how is that significant to you personally? And how are you living your life based off of that sacrifice? Is it just something that you just say that you went to church because it was Easter and that it was time to get a new outfit and that the family got together, just as it is for Mother's Day and Christmas that many of us pack out churches? But are we living the life? It is wonderful, wonderful that people made it to church yesterday, and I'm not knocking that by no means of imagination. But my challenge is do you know why you went? And was it just because you wanted to be with your family, or did you go to learn something so that you could be a better person, so that you could operate the way that God designed for you to operate? One of the things that I think really moves me, it was when I really gave my life to Christ. Now, I've given my life to Christ quite a few times, the first time being 11, and I was scared straight because I watched the movie, and I knew I didn't want to go to hell, and the movie was called The Burning Hell. And I knew I didn't want to spend eternity there because it was a very gruesome movie. So we all ran to the altar and gave our life to Christ. But something stained my brain to make me understand that that was significant. And so I was scared into ministry. I was scared into believing that at any moment the sky would open and God would come back and I would be doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing. And so it made me live a life of fear. And so I was always afraid Jesus was going to come back and that trumpet was going to sound. And then, praise God, over the years, I started going to other churches or different denominations, and it was, just ask God to forgive you, he'll forgive you. And so I got a little watered down. But I was still perplexed, because I knew It had to be more than just asking God to forgive me. There had to be a change. I had to live different. I had to be different. And so the more I started to study, because I believed that God had called me to ministry, I just didn't quite understand what it meant or what were the steps. Because, again, growing up in different environments of churches and around church people, and I say that loosely, and I'll explain that in a minute. But just the teaching behind this, that, you know, in order for me to be a minister, one, I had to be a man, so surely I couldn't have been called. But then, you know, the sky was supposed to be purple or green, or I was supposed to see, you know, birds flocking in the opposite direction. And so I was always confused, but I believed that God had called me to do something different because he always separated me. And I always felt like I was isolated and by myself, because I had to do the thing that was right, or I had to be the one that saw things differently, because I just couldn't understand how people said they loved people and just was nasty or wouldn't give. And I couldn't understand it. But fast forward, when I really started to study and when I really gave my heart to the Lord and really was consecrated to do what he called me to do, I got a little confused. Because now these same people that were teaching me to live this life, this isolated life of Christ, were still not exemplifying the behavior that I was reading about and that I was understanding. And so I was still made to, and I didn't understand it until I learned their gifts and their assignments. And then, praise God, when that light came on, I was excited for a long time because I finally understood why I was different. I finally understood why I had no problem giving the clothes off my back, and it was no, I'd walk naked. It wouldn't faze me if I was helping somebody. I understood that that was part of my gifting, and not everybody could see that, or not everybody could feel that, or why I've taken on the persona of Dr. Happy, that I really understand what that means, and why I'm made to feel different at times. That used to bother me, but doesn't bother me now. But now I'm saddened, because now I believe, not wholeheartedly, because there's no way I could have the heart or mind of Christ, but I understand why he wept. Because we have the word, we go to church, we do the things, but are we really allowing our hearts and our minds to operate the way that he designed? And so I'm reminded when I look back over my notes of, you know, why we go to church and why it's significant and why it's important, because there are so many benefits in going to church. There are so many things that we can do to help build the church. But I think sometimes we forget we are the church. Amen. We're part of the body of Christ, all of us. So I could be the toe, you could be the fingernail, you could be the rib, you could be the hip, you could be the knee. We're all part of the body of Christ. And while we are not operating in unison, it bothers me. So if it bothers me, I know it has to bother Christ. I know it has to bother the all the things that he went through. Amen. I think about when I work hard and I buy things for my children, and they just seem so ungrateful. Just, you know, in the very moment that I purchase the item, and then they can be flip and whatever. It's like, do you not appreciate what I'm doing? I can't even imagine what God must be thinking, all the things that he went through, the beating, the chastisement, the nails, the ridicule, all of what and we still want to be nasty, and we still want to be ugly, and we still believe that it's our way and not his way. I don't understand sometimes, and it grieves me. It grieves me to see so many people at church and still not change. One of the things that I think I love the most about really when I study, you know, the whole experience of Moses, about why he was chosen, and why God chooses different ones to do certain things, and how when we finally get to an understanding where, okay, Lord, I'll accept the assignment you've given. I don't believe I'm worthy, but nevertheless, I'll do the assignment. That's how Jesus must have felt. But you do the assignment, and you do it without equivocation because you want to please God. And then you do what is necessary because, for whatever reason, God allows your eyes to be open for you to see. And it's confusing when you do all the things that you do to help others to see, and they just don't really want to see. And so we have this book, and that's why many times when most of you that know me know when I pray, I always thank God for the Word, I thank God for the Holy Spirit, and I thank God for the blood of Jesus. And because they're significant, these are three resources that we cannot live without. We need the Word because the Word gives us the instruction. How would I have known about the life and the walk of Moses had I not had the Word to know that he wanted to be in the presence of God because God was so awesome and the light was so great. He had to hide him in the cleft. But the coolest thing that I love about Moses is that every time he was in the presence of God, everybody knew it. Not just Moses, everybody knew it because he had the glory on him. Every time we go to church, every time we're in the presence of God, at least we believe in that's what we're going to church, to be in the presence of God, there should be a change. And when there's no change, we have to question ourselves, what did we go to church for? Was it for Christmas? Was it for Mother Sarah? Was it for Easter? Was we going to see people? Were we going to be? And that's great. But are we going to meet Jesus? Are we going to hear his voice? Are we going with purpose? Are we going with a plan? Are we going with an expectation? Lord, I want to be different. I want you to search my heart. Tell me, show me where I am in error so I can make the necessary changes. Now, will you be perfect immediately? God can do whatever he wants to do when he wants to do it. But the coolest thing about God that I used to question from time to time was why he gives us just free will. But amen, nevertheless, he allows you to make the decision. Lord, I want to change. Okay, well, where do you want to change and when do you want to change? And so it's our decision. So what are we going to do to make sure that we do what is necessary? Well, one of the coolest things is that God blessed me. And I'm just, when I look back over my life and I think things over, amen. He has placed me in the right places at the right times. I was blessed to be able to grow up in that holiness church, amen, that had me understand that everything I did I was going to be accountable for. Scared me, but nevertheless, it prevented me from doing a whole lot of stuff that I could have done. Then he allowed me to go to the Baptist church, and then, you know, I learned that he'll forgive me. But I learned a little balance because it was all about fire and damnation from the holiness experience. So I got to lighten up a little bit and learn about his love. But praise God, when I moved to Georgia and I went to a church, and at the time it was New Birth South, and then it became Higher Living. But nevertheless, this was a major, major, major teaching church. And I learned so much from being around the different people because we grew from like 200 or 300 people to 14,000-15,000 people. But nevertheless, it was a hub for all different types of people that came in with different experiences and different levels of teaching. And through that, God molded me and he shaped me and he gave me an understanding and a platform to understand why I had to experience some of the things that I experienced. I grew up without parents and I didn't understand that, but I understood God has a plan and a purpose for everything. I can't allow that to be a hindrance for me. That was in my past, and I was able to now be able to minister from that because I could do grief ministry. I can teach and talk to children about growing up and what that experience was like. And so all the experiences I learned in this environment, to use those experiences as experiences to help me to minister to other people. So in the midst of that, I learned how the church structure worked, and I learned why it's important that we go, because there's so many benefits in going. So I'm not knocking going to church by no means in imagination, because that's where you're supposed to go to learn and to grow. And why God gave insight and wisdom and spiritual knowledge to those of us to be able to teach so that we can draw others so that you can go out and teach. And not only teach, but be volunteers and serve. And everybody has a role and everybody has a place. And so everything that we do inside the body is significant. But I implore each of you, if you're not in a teaching church, amen, get into one or take classes. We live in a era now where you could just go online. There's so many things that you can learn. But nevertheless, inside of church, supposedly, there is a connection to grow and to be nurtured. And so I love how the structure of church is to teach you from the womb to the tomb, as they would say, but how to live single, whether you're widowed or divorced or actually single. And then they have marriage ministry, and they have marriage ministries with children, without children. You have single parenting. You have youth ministry from the infant babies all the way up to adult ministry, and how you can have different ministries where they teach the teens, and they have college prep, and they have campus ministries, and then you can break it down to 20 plus, 30 plus, 50 plus, and those of us that are in the 50s ain't quite agreed to be seasoned saints. But nevertheless, they have ministries for all of that. And then, praise God, you can learn from administrative ministries that are, you know, of course, they, most churches have boards. And then you have the ministers and the deacons and the mothers. And then you have people on the welcome committee, and you people on the back door, the people that slip out the back door to call them or bring them back in. We got pastor days. We got hospitality. We got counseling. Got us. We got greeters. Baptism community. We got communion communities. Sunday school, Bible study, I mean, prayer, whatever you need, praise God, there is a ministry for that. And I was blessed to be part of a church that had all of these ministries, every single one, from dance to lighting to photography to social media to everything you could possibly think of was under this umbrella. And because at that point in my walk, I had just been blessed, was coming out of that whole tumor thing behind my eyes where I lost my vision. And so I was on fire. I was in 13 ministries, and I was leading most of them. I was on fire. But nevertheless, I was engaged, and I was excited. I was there when the church opened, and I was there when it left. Sometimes we were the last people leaving because I was excited. I was a church junkie. And then I was wounded. I didn't know how to handle that. And many times we know that we can, they even have a term for it called church hurt. But nevertheless, many people shy away from church because they get hurt. But I am here to tell you, I'm here to be a witness and a poster child. You can be hurt in any environment. But almost like someone once said, it would have been better to be hurt inside the ark than to be outside and hurt. Because then, amen, you couldn't have survived. So it's best to be inside an environment where people are loving and people are kind, people are reaching out to you. People are accountable to you and for them to you and you to them, to be connected to a body of believers, because it keeps us molded, shaped, and it keeps us in the frame that God has molded for us. And that's why I like most of the Proverbs, but Proverbs 3 is so important, because we sometimes will lean to our own understanding, and God is telling us not to lean on to your own understanding. Trust him in all your ways, and in all your ways, he will direct your path. And so if you allow him to direct your path, then praise God, he will lead you to a church body that will give you all the things that you need to develop you and strengthen you and to help you understand, so that when you get to the scripture reference that I believe that God has laid on our hearts to really kind of ponder is 1 John chapter 2. And so I'm going to read a couple of the scriptures, and then I'll show you how it kind of all comes together. But it says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation of our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. This is verse 4. He says, I know him, and I keep not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5. But whosoever keep his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, whereby we know him, that we are in him. One of the coolest things is that, like I said, when God taught me how to teach, amen, I became a master teacher, if you will, not through school, but through my church, amen, because we had to go through teacher's training. And I didn't understand. I thought, I've been a Sunday school teacher most of my life, and I've been a teacher in the system for quite a bit of time, but I couldn't teach because I had to show myself approved to be able to rightly divide God's word. So you had to go through some steps, and you had to go through some training. And so I'm so grateful that God blessed me to go through that training, because through that training, I was able to go from line upon line, precept upon precept, to understand how to teach and why it's important for us to teach, not just reading the scripture, but knowing the backstory behind the scripture, knowing to look up words when you don't understand. And so propitiation is a big word. I probably still can't spell it, but nevertheless, praise God for Google. And so we go to, go to the internet. And so what does propitiation mean? Well, I like that the scripture says propitiation is, of course, a theological word, a doctrinal word. But basically, it gives us a better understanding in that Jesus died, he atoned for us. He made it acceptable for us to be able to live this life, but he paid the ultimate price. And so the beauty is that all we have to say is, Lord, forgive me. And he will forgive us. We don't have to go to the cross. Now, many times some of us feel like for me, sometimes I feel like I was on the cross. But nevertheless, he paid the penalty for me. He paid the debt so that I could be delivered from hell. Not just me, but you too. But I always make it personal for me, because when I make my word personal, and that's what I implore each of you, take this word personally. When you went to church yesterday, did you take it personal, or did you just attend the service? Did you take it personal? When you looked up if they had the cross or had pictures of Jesus hanging, I mean, I teach a class. I used to teach it in person, but now I do it mainly online. But it's called the Disciples Cross. And so when I was in person, I used to buy, or I would go to the railroad tracks and find those big, big nails after I stopped buying the ones in the box, because they weren't as significant as I thought. When I was walking on a railroad track one day and saw one of the nails that was dislodged or whatever from the track, and I was like, now this is a nail. This is the kind of nail that they use to nail in my Jesus' hands and his feet. And so I would walk the path to make sure I would have enough for my students and give them one. And I'm like, I need for you to look at it. Every time that we get convicted to do something, the enemy plays in our minds that this is something we should just be doing. I try to keep that nail close to me now. I've moved quite a few times, and so I packed it up. So I probably need to go walk that trail and find one so I can hang it up on my wall again so I can be reminded. Because, amen. Amen. That's another testimony. But nevertheless, but looking at, or just a nail. And so sometimes I would have people take those nails to their Bible. So every time you'd open your Bible, you would see. If you just take a little nail, or take a thumbtack and stick your finger. I mean, those of us that, you know, have to prick our fingers to test our blood and stuff. I mean, that's no joke. It hurts. But can you imagine a dirty, rusty nail going through your hands into a wood board? Just your hands. I ain't even putting both my feet together and the nail going through both my feet. And then hanging. And then before you even get into the carrying it, literally. You know, we trip over because, you know, our bags are too heavy. Our backpack. Think, sometimes we have to put ourselves in the shoes and think about it. When I really go through a little time where I'm really feeling self-pity or feeling, you know, whatever, I'll watch the Passion of the Christ movie and just watch him be beaten and seeing his skin. And I thank God for Mel Gibson for being descriptive as he was in that scene, because it makes me understand the stuff that I'm going through has no relationship to what Jesus had to endure for me. And I'd make it personal. He did it for everybody. But for me, thank you, Lord, that you did that for me. You didn't have to at all. You could have been like most of us would do today when we go past the exits, and we know, folks, God is laying on our hearts. You should help them people. I ain't helping them people. They should get a job or whatever the thoughts that come through our minds. Or can you give to such and such and such? I ain't got time for that. Sometimes, saints, you got to put yourself in that mindset. Is that what we're saying when we don't acknowledge what Jesus did, the sacrifice he made? I think sometimes things we get caught up, and we just think it's Christmas, Mother's Day, or Easter. It's just, you know, another Sunday that we got new clothes. We're going, you know, show how good we look and keep it moving. It was more than that. It was way more than that. And so if we think that, the crucifixion itself, amen, was significant. It was significant, not only just because, you know, amen, he did that so that we would have salvation and that we'd have eternal life, but I think about, what did he do that for me today? Why is that significant for me today? Well, one of the coolest scriptures that I learned, and this has been recently, I knew it, but I just didn't have the revelation like I do now. Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. You shall trample on scorpions and snakes and overcome all the power," not some, not a little bit, "but all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall harm you." That was powerful for me. The first time I read it a couple of times, it was like, oh, wow, the blood of Jesus, I have authority with the blood of Jesus. But when you really think about what that means, and when Jesus said that we'll have be able to do more than what he was able to, why aren't we doing it? Well, because we're looking at Sunday service as Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. We're not looking at it as significant for us to go with an expectation. Lord, what do you want me to do? What assignment do you have for me? And so now, like I said, the reason why it troubles me is because I have many people that challenge me about, you're too happy. You're too kind. You're too soft. You're too quiet. You don't. But my mindset is, amen, you can't do nothing to me unless the Lord allows it anyway. And so if it does, then it's a lesson for me to learn. And whatever reason he wants me to learn it. And so I'm praying that I learn it and learn it quick so I don't have to do it over again. But I don't have to fuss and cuss because God, in my opinion, based on the word, he's going to take care of it anyway. And so I don't get caught up. I don't get, you know, I don't have to exhort my power and my authority because that's God's job. I have it. And when he wants me to unleash it, I'll unleash it. But I believe in my heart God wants us to be a more loving people, to be a more giving people. When you look at him on the cross and you really take that to the significance of what did that mean for you, what does that mean for you? Does that mean he just did something so that you could go to heaven? So as my old pastor used to say, fire insurance to keep you from going to hell? Or was it something to really empower you to help somebody understand the man that you know that died on the cross for you, that gave you life and power and authority to trample on? Amen. And then to acknowledge that he loves you enough to chastise you, loves you enough to empower you to do certain things that you didn't think you could handle. Did I think that I would ever get cancer after I had tumors behind my eyes and my eyes were actually sitting on my cheek? But he delivered me and he put it back in my socket when they said it couldn't be done. And so I knew without a shadow of a doubt that God loved me. I knew that. So I didn't need cancer, a heart attack, or a stroke to prove anything to me. So I was confused a little bit. But nevertheless, I kept pushing and I kept doing what God called me to do. I may have missed one in that 3-year period, I may have missed one episode in my intentions. One, because there were times I couldn't breathe. And even my sisters and some of my family members would text me and they was like, baby, just, it's okay. So they could tell in my voice that I didn't have much air. But I wasn't going to let nothing stop me from the assignment that God gave me. Why? Because I believe what he said to me. He said that he gave me an assignment and that I was going to do it. And that hook or crook, if I could scream at a basketball game or a volleyball game for my child, you better believe I can minister the word because God gave me this assignment and gave me a platform to do it on. When I know people are tuning in, whether they're tuning in today or 2 weeks from now or listening to a recording 4 years from now, if this is going to be something that will empower them to do better, to grow, and to be a better steward for God, absolutely, I'm going to do my assignment because I don't want what he did on the cross for me to be in vain. What assignment has he given you? Have you taken the time to study to be true to that assignment? Have you taken classes? People tease me all the time. Why are you going back to school? You old. Yeah, because I want to be on point for my assignment. I wasn't said, I mean, it's nice to have a doctorate degree, but I didn't do that because I wanted to brag about it. I did it because I wanted to have the authority that when the enemy stepped to me and said, you don't have that much power. So I'm like, no, but I got wisdom and I got understanding and I got the word. And more importantly, he lives in me. I am a king's kid. I'm a king's kid. I didn't have confidence like that before because he talked to me often and told me that, you know, people think that you're a Christian, but you're really not a Christian. And many times I questioned because when I would do things that I knew wasn't pleasing to the Lord, I would allow him to whisper those things to me. And things would happen in my life that weren't pleasing or I didn't believe were promises of God. And there the enemy was trying to make me believe that you did something that I tripped you up. And I had to believe, no, this is what the promises of God said. And that's why the Bible is so significant and why you have to read. One of the things that I think I have really changed my focus on my whole outlook is five things. One, you have to know who God is. You have to know who he is. Who is he? If you don't know, ask him. Because he said in his word in John 15, that whole chapter is amazing. But 15 and 7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be granted. So if you ask him for direction, he'll give it to you. Again, that cool church that I went to, they had a class called ministry, Spiritual Gifts. And so it gave you insight to understand what your assignments were. And so when I knew that God had called me to ministry and God called me to teaching, I started studying, and I wanted to understand what that meant, and I wanted to understand how to really understand the word and how to get a better understanding. And so, you know, I went to seminary school, and man, the people were teasing, and they're like, everything for you is dealing with the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, yeah, because I was trained right to believe the Holy Spirit leads and guides, and I don't walk outside of the path of what God says. I mean, you know, you're telling me one thing, but I believe the word, and I believe what the Holy Spirit tells me to do with the word. But nevertheless, so I had to know who God was. And so now that I understand who God is, number two, what do I mean to him? Why am I significant to him? Yes, my mother was prophetic, and she didn't know no better when she named me Leah, because I hated it, because I didn't understand my name was Leah by birth, and she was the ugly one. Well, praise God, when I got to Genesis 30:13, and it says how happy I am, and the women were called. Okay, I can shout about that, but nevertheless, that's another show. But nevertheless, I know who I am to him. Because I didn't know nothing about that. I was collecting happy faces long before I recognized. But because I wanted to be happy so long and so bad. Amen. I figured if I collect them enough, I'll eventually become happy. But little did I know that I was confessing the word. And people calling me happy was confessing, calling those things to be not as though they were until they became a manifestation. And now I am happy. I'm happy in my soul. Yes, I have joy, but I'm happy too. Amen. And so I love to share happiness. Why? Because I know who I am. I know who God is, and I know who I am. And then three, I know my assignment. You got to know your assignment. I know hook a crook God called me to teach the gospel. I know that. And so without a shadow of a doubt, I'm going to study to show myself proof to not only write, divide his word rightly, but anything that he wants me to teach, whether it's school, a secular scripture, whatever, I'm going to study. And I'm going to show myself because I'm going to do what God called me to do because he called me to be a teacher. What has he called you to? Do you know him? Do you know why he loves you? Do you know your assignment? Do you know your assignment? And then four, do you know that you are protected? No matter what the enemy throws in your way, you are protected. And because you are protected, he's going to allow you to do whatever it is that he's called you to do. So if you don't know your assignment, back to that same scripture. If you remain in him and his word remains in you, ask him and he will share with you. Many times people get caught up because they think that they have to have some spiritual assignment. It could be just being a trash person And then whenever you do everything under me. And that was one of the things that I learned again, being blessed by so many people that God has put in my path. Everything you do unto God. Everything. If it's pouring a drink of Kool-Aid, whatever, do it unto God. And I catch myself so many times, and I forget. And so people's like, Leah, you know, you do things so slow. And that's like, because if I get convicted, I'll do it over. Because I want to do it unto God. I'm not doing it unto people for a paycheck. I'm not doing it unto people so that I can get recognition. I want recognition from God. Because one day I was at Cruffalo Dollars Church, and he said, there are so many people that are doing things for man's recognition. And God revealed to me that that's all you'll get is man's recognition. That moved me. I was like, no. And he's like, that's all you get. I'm like, no, I want God's recognition because God elevates. I don't care about what people think. And so that's how I do quite a bit of stuff that I do. And he's like, yeah, you like being busy. Well, I like doing the things that God told me to do. No, you're a master of jack of all trades, master none. I'm like, oh, I mastered. My sweet friend told me, no, Leah, you master the ones that God has you doing at the time you're doing it. Ooh, don't let them hate on you because you got several gifts and you know. Amen. I know because I asked him, and I know because I study, and I know because I am trying to make sure that I get all the wisdom and knowledge in that area that he's gifted me in so that I can do what he called me to do whenever he calls me to do it. And so people laugh because I can preach from about a pack of gum because I know enough for it, and I believe that if God called me to do that, he's going to give me everything I need because I know him. I know who I am to him. I know my assignment. I know I'm protected. And five, last but not least, amen, I know I'm destined to win. You got to know you're destined to win. If you don't know you're destined to win, then you probably won't attempt many things. And a couple of weeks ago, one of the same moms that we met with today, she was sharing to me, she's like, you can't start until you start. You can't start until you start. And that was a word. She don't even realize how much of a blessing she has been to me. Amen. Just random talking is nuggets. Nuggets that God is using her mouth to share to me, to stir gifts up in my spirit. I can't start the TV ministry unless I start it. And I'm waiting for the right backdrop. I'm waiting for the right mic, the right lighting. I can do this right here in my room because he already gave me the tools. I just ain't put them up yet. But I can't start until I start. What is it that God has given you that you haven't started? Because you've allowed the enemy to make you believe you're not qualified. Well, do what you need to do to get yourself qualified so that you can believe and have the confidence. How do you do that? Well, first and foremost, again, I'll go through those steps. You got to know God. You got to know what you mean to him. Why he created you. Amen. What your assignment, what your purpose is. Then you got to know that you're protected. And most importantly, you got to know that you're destined to win. You don't win in whatever assignment he gives you. It may take you some time to get there, but nevertheless, it's coming. When they told me that if my eye stayed out on my cheek, because the tumor pushed it out of the socket that was sitting on my cheek, and they said if it stayed like that more than 6 months, I was going to be permanently blind. 6 years, say six, 6 years that I was confounded, like not confounded in a good way. I was like, Lord, for real? You didn't tell me I was going to be a blind preacher, and you could have given me an opportunity to learn Braille, something. I'm not understanding. And all the challenges that came with that, it was difficult. It was hard. It was very hard. I lost my insurance. It was devastating and difficult. But nevertheless, all the things that I prayed for, all the things that I confessed came to pass. Nobody can tell which eye it is. They think it's my other eye. But it's the eye that God completely, I don't need glasses for that eye. Like sometimes, you know, my eye get a little dim. I was like, God, I don't want to put no glasses on because it'll spoil my testimony. And I put my glasses on, amen, so I could see. But nevertheless, he healed me because the eye is back in the socket. What the doctor said that could never happen because your eyes can't exercise to go back into the socket. So I know without a shadow of a doubt God can heal and he can create miracles. So the cancer and the heart attacks and the strokes, didn't quite understand. But I knew that he could do it, and so I didn't let it shake me. I was perplexed a couple of times, but for the most part, I didn't stop. I kept right on moving because I knew that if this was the assignment that God had for me, there was going to be some purpose to it, and so I kept it moving. But here I am, cancer-free. You know, my heart's right, amen, physically, spiritually, and mentally, and emotionally, amen, amen. And I'm getting the rest of my body together, amen. Now, I met the herb man today, so amen, I got my herbs together, about to start eating clean, amen. God is amazing. You just got to trust him. And you can't just allow his death and his resurrection to not be significant to you, to just be a church service. It has to have significance. And what is the significance to you? You have to know. So you have to be in the word too. You have to be, you have to pray. You have to pray that word back to him. You have to talk, develop a relationship with him. It's one thing to say that you know the Lord. It's a whole nother thing to have an intimate relationship with him where you know you hear his voice and you know his voice. I remember I used to say, well, why does the devil talk so loud and you talk so soft? And I believe it was Elder Harris, I want to believe it was him, in the same, you know, wonderful church. He said to me, he's like, well, if you know God, then you'll know his voice. Because the Bible says that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And I'm like, oh, I guess so. So what did that mean? That meant that I needed to get back into the word so that I can hear his voice, that I know exactly when he's talking to me. Isn't it funny how moms can know their children's voices? They can be in a crowd of other children, and we know our voice. Not even just our children. I mean, those that we love and care about, we know their voices. And so if we really love the Lord, we would know his voice. So I don't say that no more. I still wish he was a little louder because, you know, the enemy, you know, he'll just about put his foot out and trip you to make sure you understand that he's talking. But, amen, God is the gentleman. And he doesn't have to do all that because if you really want to believe, you'll believe. And that's why my challenge to each of us today is to ask yourself, why is this significant? Not that he died so that you could have eternal life. That was great. But to you personally, why is that significant to you? Why is it significant that we recognize what he did? And so we talk about calendars and holidays on the calendar. They're secular and they're, I forgot what the other word that they say about the holidays or whatever the word is. But nevertheless, I'm grateful that they have those holidays on the calendar because the world stopped. And that's an opportunity for those of us that really want to minister the word to take advantage and use the holiday, pagan, that's the word. Thank you, Lord. See how he gives you stuff. But how we use the pagan holiday to be a tool to witness. Yes, no, Jesus wasn't born on Christmas, January, or December 25th. But we can show use it. He came, he died, and he rose again for us. So he had to be born. I remember last year for my daughter's volleyball team, I asked the girls, I said, what's more significant, Christmas or Easter? And then, you know, it was a little discussion, but, you know, little do they know. I did that all 4 o'clock just so we could talk about but nevertheless, the parents got involved, and then the other teams got involved. Amen. See how God moves? Amen. But nevertheless, he had to be born in order to die. But they both are significant because, amen, amen, we're talking and we're sharing the gospel. And for those that don't know about Christmas or Easter, now they have an understanding of either or. But we're talking about him. Use it as a platform. Saints, we got to do better. We got to do better. And we got to understand and be able to defend why Jesus' death is significant to us. It's not about Easter or resurrection. It's more than that. It's way more than that. He took the place for all of us. And everything that we committed, that we are committing even now, and the ones we'll do in the future are covered by the blood that was shed. That's significant. That is significant. I remember somebody asked, if somebody asked you when you got to the pearly gates, why did you deserve to come in? And, you know, they was, I don't know, because I gave my life to Christ. All these answers that people were giving. I'm like, because I'm your kid. Amen. Scoot over. I don't have to necessarily live next to Gabriel, but I want to be on one of them streets because I did my assignment. Amen. Where my street at? Where my street that's paved? Where, what direction do I walk in? stuff, I know without a shadow of a doubt, at least I believe, that I'm doing what God has called me to. Amen. Hook or crook. It doesn't matter whether people tease me because they think that I'm going too far to the left or to the right. Oh, you're over. Whatever you want to call me, call me. Just call me a child of God. Amen. Because I'm trying to do what God called me to do. And I don't have to scream and jump and shout and be mean and be a boss to do it now. There was a little time I thought I had to detour a little bit, but amen. Even in that, God can say that we are protected. We are protected. I could go on and on. But, you know, I never, ever, ever am out of talk. But I am out of time. I could go on and on and on about the things of God. But, amen, I got to close. But tune in next week. We'll have another inspiring word. But on every Monday night at 9 p.m. Amen. So however you logged in or dialed in, please come back and join us again next week for another inspiring word. Sometimes we open up the lines and allow people to have comments or questions. Those of you that know me can get in touch with me and ask any questions that you might have. Sometimes I do guests. So if you want to be a guest, you have something that God has laid on your heart to share, let me know. And we'll definitely get you in the rotation. But nevertheless, I pray that you have been blessed by the message. We came from the main scripture of 1 John 2 and then, of course, 3 John 15, because that's an amazing chapter all in itself. But I want you to remember that you need to find out, know who God is, and then praise God. Know who you are to him. Know your assignment. Ask him if you don't know. And then know that you're protected. And then praise God. Know that you are destined to win. Why? Because you are a king's kid. Think about it. What a king does for his children, he will do for you. Again, I could go on and on. But nevertheless, again, tune in. This is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. I pray you have been encouraged, that you've been educated in some way, and that you'll learn whatever it is that you've learned and be empowered to make the necessary changes and then be empowered to share it with someone else. I want you to always, always, always remember that you have to start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and end your day with prayer. And I always close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song. She used to be my number one listener, and I pray that she's still listening somewhere in the heavenly realms. Amen. But nevertheless, every praise was her favorite song, and so we always close the broadcast with that song. So again, start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and end your day with prayer. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful night. Be blessed.